WS Factory. I am interviewing Commodore A.G. Bolton, and it's the 31st of July, 1980.
Thing one, two,
three. We're at the point where you go to the Staff College in 1948 in Greenwich, the Naval Staff College. What were conditions in Britain like at that time, just after the war?
They weren't noticeably bad. There were a lot of bombed out areas, a lot of areas of that sort, but food was rationed to some extent. No hardships that we encountered.
Did it surprise you that conditions were, those sort of conditions still went on?
Yeah, well, in a way, it did.
Yeah, it did.
It did. Because other countries had brought themselves up with the aid of martial aid and all the aid that they received. Yeah. Britain was still, Portsmouth, I remember, was still pretty badly bashed up. Big craters in London that are still unfilled, things of that sort. But business went on as usual.
Yeah. What about housing? How did you,
We just rented a, place in Blackheath. We lived in Blackheath. We were only there for, how long was it there? Six or eight months, 9 months.
Oh, was that all?
Oh, yeah.
Not a year.
No.
Oh.
The staff course in October the 19th, 48. Then I went to Magnificent, went from staff course to Magnificent in April 49. So it was October, November, December, January, March.
6 months.
Six, seven months. And I went straight from the staff course to Magnificent.
What sort of conditions are, what sort of conditions were at the college? When I say that, I mean, apart from your courses, your lectures, what did you do? What in the way of social activities were put on at the college? Anything?
Nothing very much. We had the our mess there. There was the occasional dance, as I recall it. But I wasn't living in, so I would go back home after the end of the day, or frequently I'd be very late at night doing a project. But I lived in Blackheath.
Yeah. How many men were on this course? How many other Canadians?
There were three of us. Three of us. Bill Landy Moore and Don McClure and myself. The three black sheep, as we were referred to.
And were you? Was the course entirely commanders and up?
Yes.
So
I think so.
Senior,
I think so.
Pretty much on a senior officer.
I think
then.
So. Might have been. I don't recall any two and a half there, but there could well have been in the RN.
Yeah.
In any case.
And the sort of work you did was in the staff course, and it was on most of your work was to do with operations, appreciations of operations.
Appreciations of operations. Writing signals, the right way to pass information or to arrive at a solution by these appreciations, which were they were pretty extensive.
Was it exclusively to do with the Navy, or did you get into other spheres
it,
like the National Defense College has in Canada now?
It was straight.
Foreign affairs and
purely Navy.
I see.
Purely Navy. We had speakers coming, but they were speaking on naval affairs.
Was there anything to do with the general? Cooperation with other services? Did you the Air Force or Army in any way?
We didn't don't recall having discussed anything with them. They would be involved in our paperwork, you know, support from the RAF and support from here and there in our in our papers that we would do.
Yeah.
But not as such.
No. Were you given any sort of idea of the way they operated on their staff, their procedural methods? And the reason I ask that question is I've had a number of interviews with people during the war who found that this kind of close cooperation with one of the other services involved a great deal of ad hoc running improvisation and this sort of thing, and nobody had really had an idea how they did a thing, and consequently, sometimes things went wrong. Because, for example, a Navy wanted to touch down there and send a message in such a way.
Yep.
Well, you know, by the time it percolated through to where the hell it should have been in the first place. Just because nobody really knew where to go.
Nor did the other side understand the language.
Quite right. Yeah, absolutely.
Literally.
And they in turn didn't know how to deal with you either.
We didn't. We didn't have that. We weren't confronted with the problem, nor was it explained. We didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't get
okay.
into any.
Well,
any.
You were strictly involved with your own problem.
Strictly involved with their own problem.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good to clarify that, because I think, you know, in light of what's happened and the subsequent staff courses and other things have changed a little bit, I think.
I'm sure that.
I was wondering where you had gone.
Not the staff college.
Well, and you graduated from the staff college after 6 months.
Yes.
Course, and were sent back to Canada, I presume.
Right, yes. Sent back to Canada. And sent directly to the Magnificent.
Mm-hmm. Would you explain just what the Magnificent was?
Magnificent was our Canadian aircraft carrier.
Was it a fleet carrier or a?
No. It was a smaller mass. Yes. I'm not sure how big a fleet carrier is, but it was a small carrier.
Yeah, I'm not thinking of a fleet carrier. What was the Bonaventure? That was a.
Well, it's the same sort as Bonaventure.
Just a little older model.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was basically the same.
Same.
Had it been modified for Canadian conditions at that time, or had it just been taken over?
It had been modified,
mm-hmm.
as I recall. Yes, I'm sure it was modified. We got it and modified it. We modified it when we bought it.
Yeah.
However, it was. No, I think it was on loan. In fact,
mm-hmm.
and we had to give it back. Magnificent.
Yeah.
Give it back.
It was the Bonaventure that we owned.
Then we bought the Bonaventure.
And made quite a lot of changes to that, of course, because the hull wasn't just the hull finished on that one, as I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what sort of aircraft and what sort of...
Now you've got me. I never remember. There were the... we had the AS aircraft and the fighters.
And maybe propeller driven fighters at that point, I think.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
In
1948
or...
They were the same... They were the aircraft carrier model of the Spitfire.
Oh, the Seafire it was called or something?
The Seafire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what, you were executive officer?
I was executive officer.
Yeah. What, that was, in that period, I guess the Navy was going through a few, a little internal strife and soul searching, wasn't it, at that time?
There was indeed, yes.
And what could you tell us about that?
I
heard everything from,
We had... There were some degrees of discontent.
Mm-hmm.
None of it very major, but there was discontent there.
A bit of grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did it? What sort of? What form did this grumbling take?
It would take the form of in some ships, on occasions of troops not turning to when they were told.
Any actual refusal to obey an order.
But it was resolved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, it was just an explanation was needed or something. But it was that wasn't a common occurrence, but it did happen.
Yeah. Well, that time there was certainly some problems. Who was captain at that time?
Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Gus Miles. George R. G. R. Miles.
And he was, I think that, I guess, has the
Mingy
Commission has been through, or report come through yet about this? When was that? Well, 50, I forget myself.
Oh, fuck you. Oh, God.
I said the guy if you were forgotten.
When was the Mingy report?
Well, I'm just trying to get up to that, 1950 or something.
Must have been around that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think, what do you attribute to? What do you attribute the cause of this? You know, this kind of discontent that was. It wasn't only in the Magnificent; it was in other ships.
It didn't occur when I was in the Magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. It had happened.
Yes, yeah.
But not during my time. I suppose there were a number wanted to get out, and it was hard, you know, it wasn't easy to get out, so I think that a lot of them opted out in that manner.
What about,
and there was some, you know, some...
There was some, criticism of, divisional officers, if you will, or officers of, perhaps lieutenant commander and below, who were perhaps not as sensitive to the problems of man management as they might have been.
This, in my opinion, is the basic reason for it all, for being too completely pre-war putter, and not enough understanding of the Canadian youth at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian youth would do anything you want them to do if you approached them sensibly, honestly, and above board. He didn't want to be pampered.
Yeah.
He just wanted to be looked after properly and treated properly, treated decently. And they weren't always treated in that manner.
No, I understand. There was a problem.
Yep.
Sometimes people were told to do things of which they felt were in an unjust manner, or the fact that it was not properly explained.
Yes, and not necessarily a necessary bit of work at the time, or some such thing.
Yeah.
Leave was restrictive instead of having a little more leeway and leave daily or weekly. It was too much by the book. Too much. A lot of it was done in an arbitrary manner.
Mm-hmm.
The old time sailor took it. Knew a sailor wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, as of today.
Yeah, right. Oh, sure.
But that was a lot to do with that, I think.
Huh. Well, it took a bit of doing to self-examine yourself and and even the Mingy report wasn't too popular. My God, were you at that conference at the?
Yes.
Well, it was Odette.
Was
it?
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
And frankly, I thought he was terrible myself.
I thought he was frightful.
Just terrible. I got
shocking.
I couldn't think how he got up. They let him get up there and ramble on. And everybody,
I thought it was disgraceful for a man of his caliber, intelligence.
I agree. It was very much. I think we're going to talk about this. We better not put it down for posterity.
Yeah, no.
We'll turn it off. Okay. Well, we're back again after having disposed of Mr. Audet. And the Mingy report, of course. Brought out a number
of things that I think helped rectify some of them.
Yeah. Sure,
some
changed. And I don't know how popular Mingy was with the Navy for having done it. Probably not too popular.
Probably not. Nobody likes to have their mistakes drawn in front of them in public.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Mingy was the one to do it.
Yeah.
He was the most forward looking person at that time, in my opinion. I'm saying he was progressive enough to want to do this rather than hide it under a blanket.
Yeah, right. Okay. What sort of training and cruises and things were you involved with on the Magnuson?
We did a number of NATO exercises. We did a tremendous amount of fueling, fueling other ships, a lot of that thing. We did a cruise. We did a tremendous cruise. One of the biggest the Navy had done for some time. We took with us three destroyers. And we did Europe, Cherbourg, I've forgotten all the places we went to now. Portugal. Not too sure. I'd have to look it up.
There
was a tremendous, tremendous crew, show the flag.
It was just a show. It wasn't any other specific reason except to show the flag and general training.
And general training, the crew.
Yeah.
What that side, yeah.
Yeah. And did you exercise with vessels of any of the other navies?
No. We had our own. Just did our own exercises with our own ships and our own flying.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Adams was the captain, and Admiral Mingy flew his flag. Came through his flag.
Okay.
Magnus.
for that trip.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Admiral Mingy brought his cats.
Oh, really? That must have been a joy to all the crew.
Siamese at that.
Well, they're well trained to a box of litter or something, were they?
I've forgotten that.
Not a thing you're lucky to forget to be if the cats were performing up.
I think that they had no
problem.
No shame.
No shame.
No shame, no, no.
Another cross the stewards had to bear, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, Siamese cats are... I'm quite fond of Siamese cats, really, but I don't know how they were going on.
Not in a ship with 1,000 men.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how long were you in Magnificent?
About darn near 2 years.
Were you? And were you executive officer the whole time?
Yes. When I was in command for a while, but I was in command for a few days at sea once, but I was in command another period when we were in dry dock after we hit the rock in Margaret's Bay.
How did that happen?
Well, we were going into harbor, which was quite a legitimate thing to do. It was a harbor that was quite a reasonable harbor, and for reasons that I don't really know the exact reasons, we hit a rock. Now, whether we were... It is said to have not been charted, and we hit it incorrectly, or that it wasn't charted, and we had no fault. Obviously, that wasn't proven. And so, Miles was dismissed the ship.
Mm-hmm.
That was that. Then we had to go into dry dock. Went to dry dock.
Oh, you said Ken Adams? No,
yeah.
Before he came on. Before that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So I see. So when he was dismissed, lost his command, and you were in dry dock, you became
acting captain then for
for
the reset and the discipline and maintaining the ship.
I see. Yes, I remember the incident. I remember it happened.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
No.
I didn't remember when, but that's a bit of a unpleasantness. Wasn't it?
That was an unpleasantness.
Yeah. Well, you were lucky you weren't the navigating officer.
Yeah. I was. I can almost say that I was blameless to the extent that I was down on the cable deck, not even up on the upper deck or on the bridge or on the flight deck, getting the anchor ready for letting go.
Yeah.
Which we didn't.
Yeah.
Had to get there. So all I got was a monstrous thump.
You weren't brought up short. You just gradually...
Well, we were brought up pretty short because we thumped. We could hear them.
Yeah. Well, you weren't thrown off your feet or anything
no,
like that.
No,
no.
So then I cleared lower deck forthwith and got everybody aft onto the flight deck and got some increased weight back there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to wait some bit for the tide and we got off. The water deck bulkhead held us.
How much of the ship was damaged? How many compartments or what?
There was a fair bit of flooding down below, but how do I describe it? Nothing serious. There was no bad flooding, other than in the area that it was involved in. There was a hole in the bottom of the ship about the size of this room.
Was there?
It was a really good hole.
A few buckled plates.
No, it was a good sized hole.
Yeah.
It was an exaggeration, but it was a good sized hole.
Mm-hmm. Just peeled it right back. Just
pushed it right in.
Well, certainly, you got a vessel of that type, but what were they, about 18,000?
I think that.
Somewhere in there, and it lands on sits on a rock.
Oh, yes, an immovable object.
Yeah, yes, right.
They
kept
by an irresistible roar.
Yeah. Oh, dear, well.
How long
were you?
Darn near 2 years, I know that.
But after you came out of dry dock, I presume you were, you had a new captain appointed, did you?
Yeah,
that's when
Ken Adams. Then Ken Adams came.
Oh yeah. What?
Magnificent 8th of April 49, and I went to Ottawa from there in end of January 51. So it was 3 months. 3 months short of 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What did you do in Ottawa?
I went to Ottawa as the Director of Naval Reserve.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the acting rank of captain. So I was DNR for 2 years.
For 2 years?
February, March, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. In charge of all the reserve divisions.
How did you like living in Ottawa? And,
well, it's all right.
We're fine.
It was fine.
Yep.
Yeah.
You weren't really wed to the sea to the extent where you...
Oh, I'd had a fair bash of it.
Indeed you had, yeah. More than your share of it.
Yeah. And this was a promotion.
Yes. Oh, well, yeah.
And it was a good job.
Yeah.
Being Director of Naval Reserves was a good, responsible job with lots of activity, lots of travel, lots of build out.
To see the country, yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Did it expand in the, were the Naval Reserves expanding?
Yeah.
Or were you,
no,
were they,
no, they were,
I mean, were they actually expanding, or were you just trying to expand?
Actually expanding.
Yeah. New ships, or new, or just
well,
increase the size
we,
of the
we increased the number of ships on the Great Lakes, the training,
mm-hmm.
organized that. We moved our whole, it used to be run by the Chief of Naval Personnel as a bit of a nuisance sideline.
Mm-hmm.
But we got them convinced that we should move to our own headquarters out of Ottawa, so not to be under the continuous thumb of headquarters. So we searched around and found a place in Hamilton, a building, which was a long warehouse building, which we converted into our headquarters there, and I did all that move, organized it, and did it.
Was this the time that you instigated fairly experienced RCN staff officers?
Oh, yes.
Appointed to the naval
to
division.
Each single division had an experienced staff officer.
Yeah, but this was something relatively...
It was quite new.
New, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I was trying to think who was...
Oh, Dick Lear went to one, just that.
Did he?
Yeah, he was in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere about that time.
Somebody organized it such that they picked good officers.
Yeah.
It wasn't an appointment for somebody they wanted to get rid of.
No, I get it.
It was an appointment
mm-hmm.
for good people who could run, be responsible in a job like that, working under a reserve captain,
mm-hmm.
But doing tremendous amount of the organizing and internal work. Busy.
Yeah, because I gather, as I recall from Lear, that people had not been doing their staff work or office work or whatever, and it was
right.
A shambles.
It was a shambles.
Somebody
in there to shake it up.
Shake it up and get it on the right track.
Get it going.
Yeah. Obviously, this was successful. And
It was successful, and they went ahead. And
mm-hmm.
They were a tremendous force.
How did you pry the Reserve Naval establishment out of Ottawa? One would have thought that had been fairly difficult to do.
I don't know. I suppose it was just digging at them and just convincing people that would have the power to say, well, let's do it. They did it.
It seems to be the opposite of empire building centralization, which seemed to be the thing, and yet here you are spreading out somewhere else.
To the advantage of the reserve, too.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Central area.
Yeah.
It didn't cost any more. We were on D&D property
at
that when I moved to Hamilton. We had facilities at the lake for training. We organized training.
There was a naval division at Hamilton.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We didn't. We treated them like we treated Regina.
Mm-hmm.
But we had organized the sea training there, which was very useful, right at our front door, literally. So that was very useful. And we weren't constantly being bothered or hindered by other departments in Ottawa. We wanted something, we wrote a letter or sent a message, not having to go across the hall and wait and get a verbal reply to something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was
a different side. We were a separate establishment.
Yeah. Well, there certainly can be many advantages to the separate establishment in the mere fact of being separate. I think that's...
Yeah, there was. There was some considerable advantage.
Yeah. So you were there for a couple of years.
I was there.
During this period, you were in Ottawa and in Hamilton.
Yes, and in Hamilton.
What sort of medals did you get for the reserves?
Oh, mine sweepers and things like that.
These were all war surplus awards.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They were Second World War vintage. And,
oh, yes. Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very useful.
Oh, indeed. Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Desirable. I was there from January 51 to September 53, just under 2 years.
You were not involved in any of the Korean business?
No.
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 Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to Korea at all. I was doing the NDC then. Korea.
Oh, yeah. You, well, you went to the National Defense College, too, after,
yes.
After this?
After I was in... after I was director of Naval
mm-hmm.
Reserve.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do in Kingston?
National Defense College there for 1 year. Moved there. Moved and lived in Collins Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And took the course at the National Defense College, which, as you know, is a tri-service, almost intergovernment. The government
yeah.
number of civil servants went. And one or two or three selected industry.
Yes, yeah. And I presume you found that a very
fascinating. Oh, yeah.
Of course, it opens up. Everyone I talk to, it's open doors that they never.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were
yeah.
thought of before,
yeah.
isn't something.
And you know, top rate speakers.
Yeah.
Good open, rough, tough discussion on a lot of subjects that you couldn't get otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
All everybody cleared to the top, and it was a well worthwhile, tremendous.
I gather there are no notes taken at this or anything like that. You just simply
don't recall. But
No.
That's right. There was no notes taken. We didn't have to write a lot. We didn't have to.
Well, of course, this made it more open.
Sure.
And people could say things they wouldn't
yeah.
say if you were writing it down.
No, we didn't do any. We didn't have any papers to do. We just
mm-hmm.
lectured and listened and talked. And well, we did. We had some papers, sure. Everybody had to give a lecture on some subject. So I did a little delving. Good library.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so that was fairly hard work, I suppose.
That was hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It sure was.
Yeah. Okay.
But good.
What happened then after that, Gus?
After that, and you see, after that, I went straight from that to Washington, as to Niagara, Washington. Which as executive officer down there, and then I was made the naval member that the head.
Yo, you were the you were the head
attaché.
Hmm? And you were at that time
promoted to acting commodore.
Oh, were you?
When I was made when I was put in command of,
yeah.
of Niagara.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I went down there as a captain, then promoted to acting commodore, took over as in command with the rank of commodore.
What sort of work did you do in Washington?
Liaison with the USN. It was the whole purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
I had a number of staff officers who liaised in their own departments of gunnery and anti-submarine warfare and communications and everything. I did the more senior liaising with the Pentagon, with the Chief of Naval Operations, who I used to go and see quite frequently, and his senior staff. And I would get information or pass on information. Or I was a direct liaison between the Naval Board in Ottawa and
mm-hmm.
and the Pentagon, and had good relationships. Good.
Do you have any traveling in your job?
Uh-huh.
Did you go to sea with the U.S. Navy or what?
I did two or three times.
Yeah.
And I went to a number of their bigger bases in the U.S. And was remarkably well looked after. You know, a request was readily filled. They'd fly me
yeah.
here, hither and yon.
I've heard from others that the cooperation, the Canadian Chiefs
yeah.
and the Americans,
yeah.
was just first rate.
Absolutely,
all the way.
Absolutely first rate.
They couldn't have been more
no.
cooperative than the...
Couldn't have been. And you follow the channels that they asked you to do, to
mm-hmm.
go through the right channels to get to somebody. And you got there and you got well received. Really did.
Mm-hmm.
The didn't talk down to us. They didn't belittle anything. They were just prepared to help where they could and where they were permitted. Very good.
How did you find, looking at it as a professional seaman or naval officer, at looking at somebody else's ballywick, how did you find them? Extremely good, efficient?
Yeah, they're extraordinarily good in their staff work.
Bureaucratic or, you know, what sort of...
In their staff work, they're extraordinarily good, and their paperwork is well organized. Well done. I went to see with them on a couple of occasions. Maybe they shouldn't be on. I didn't think much of their ship handling ability, but maybe I just happened to have a poor, inexperienced captain.
Yeah.
I didn't like the internal arrangements of the ship. I don't mean the physical arrangements. I mean the relationship between the officers and the men and the boss captain and the junior officers, etc. Quite different than ours.
Yes,
that's all I can say.
Aware of that.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is not to denigrate them in any way. It just was just different.
But you were generally glad it wasn't your way of doing
it. I'm glad it wasn't my way of doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe this shouldn't be on the table.
Well, I don't know. Sure, it's nothing. It really isn't.
They were good to work with at sea. When I was in Taiwan, they were good.
So even though the ways are different, they can produce what you
can
produce the right result.
Oh, sure. Damn right.
Yeah.
Sure, it can. Just different ways.
Yeah. Huh. Well, you enjoyed this, and
I enjoyed that. Yes, it was a good.
No political problems involved in any way with the.
No, we were at a very good level at that time,
mm-hmm.
And there were no problems of that sort. We got on. We were getting along well with the dates, and my staff got along well with the people we had to work with in the Pentagon.
And
you
were there for 2 years, wasn't you?
I was there for 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes, just 2 years, I think. Niagara went down there for September 1953 and left in June of 1955. Just a touch under 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And then where?
And then I went from there to back to sea in the Saint Laurent.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Went to sea as in command of Saint Laurent and as commander of the 3rd Escort Squadron.
So you were then, and were a captain.
So I was then...
You dropped your acting rank. You
in command.
Are you out of tape over there?
No, I've got more tape.
Oh,
I think I've just clicked stop, so.
Well, we're back on again now.
Went to Saint Laurent, yeah.
And that was in Halifax, huh?
That was in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Saint Laurent in command, plus command of the squadron of 3 other ships.
That, of course...
That was a good command.
That system has changed, has it now, or is that...
Same thing,
is it?
Yeah, pretty much. The only thing that would have changed is that the senior officer may have not have been in command of the ship in which he
was
riding.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether that...